I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Down the block, Andrew John. Inside for Elba. Elba will score. Elba will score. Newcastle have won.
Now, on to the Doggies defeating the Titans 32-0. I want to send a shout-out to Tino, the big fella. He's done his ACL. Devastating news. Devastating for, obviously, Titans. Devastating for Queensland. But mainly devastating for Tino. He's had an incredible last few years, and he's worked tirelessly to earn that reputation and being out for the whole season. I'm sure he's devastated. So hopefully it's just a smooth recovery, and we see him back on the field next year. Doggies defeat Titans 32-0. Who saw this coming? Wow. What a performance from the Bulldogs. And what I loved the most about this performance from the Dogs was the effort was there in round one and round two, but what I loved is there was a game plan there and they stuck to it. They were nailing the game plans, like hitting on the edge there. Like when you look at a guy like Kikau, you look at his stats. That's obviously he had that try. And the try assist. But when you look at his actual running stats of 15 runs, 122 metres, 55 post contact, two tackle breaks, you go, oh, he probably had a solid game. But if you actually watch the match, if he's not on that field applying like immense amount of pressure to the two, three and four defenders, their whole game plan's different. And that's what he was brought to the club to do. He doesn't have to have 10 tackle breaks, three line breaks, six offloads. What he has to do is, there's an argument to be made that a player like Kikau and Olakau'atu, sometimes the threat of them is more important than the actual impact of what they do. And that's what Kikau did on the weekend, where he was constantly bending the line back, which would just turn the Gold Coast Titans defense into complete, you know, a shemozzle. I thought Kikau was outstanding and probably the best game. Not probably, it was the best game he's played for the club.
It's the presence that he can bring. Mm. Olakau'atu is exactly the same, and you're right. They don't need all the stats in the world to have good games. I thought he was unreal. I thought Jacob Preston was very good as well, mate.
Oh, when's he not? Seriously.
He's just so tough, Jacob Preston. He's been such a good find for them. Mate, very impressive Canterbury, and you know what I love about this performance? It wasn't the Matt Burton show.
No.
They just played a really good brand of footy. And Matt Burton didn't have to overplay his hand, just played his role. I thought Hutcho with ball in hand, I think he had one error at one point, but I thought outside of that, he dictated terms really well as well. I still believe there is a halfback in Drew Hutchinson there. Mm. Kiraz, you mentioned him when you got to Team of the Week. Just multi-culture around at Belmore, and Kiraz has an absolute blinder. Mate, we've got Blue Wealth Property who sponsor our Supercoach show. Tony, who runs Blue Earth Property, Lebanese heritage. And, mate, when he talks about Kiraz, you would think it's his own son.
Yeah.
Just takes so much pride.
Did Kiraz fart in his head?
He may have.
Deal with you.
Yeah, but make it real.
So many Canterbury fans just take so much pride that Jacob Kiraz is their guy, and they know the ability he's got. He just needs to stay injury-free. And when you see him on the weekend, you understand just how much ability he has. He's just got so much to offer, Kiraz. Blake Wilson has been a great find. Came down from the Q Cup. Came down from the Falcons. He's been fantastic. I think, did he knock up eight tackle breaks from Blake Wilson?
Yeah. Connor Tracy, friggin' 220 metres or something.
Unbelievable. And we've all sort of said don't know if the Sting is his best spot. Probably still say that. Yeah. But he had a real rip and a tear there on the weekend, didn't he?
Absolutely. What do you think about the Doggies, Hammy?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's just good to say. I think any of these teams that play at the small suburban grounds, when they are up and about, there's not much better. This is what rugby league is all about. They look good. You spoke already about Kikau. I thought, again, he was outstanding. So good to see him kind of finally hitting his straps there. Ran really hard. You touched on Preston too. I think both their back rows, they both got a try, both got through. They look like a real handful, but Doggies were... they were sensational. Obviously, the Titans are a little bit disappointing, but you can only play what's in front of you. And I think they take some good momentum for this into the Good Friday game for sure.
Yeah, when you watch the game, if you ever needed a kind of an example of how important it is that you've got a squad that's all on the same page and like backing the coach, I think that game is a really good one for the Dogs, because I don't think the squad they had last year, I don't think they get close to winning the game by that much. And that might sound like something silly, because it's like, well, yeah, of course, they were so poor last year. But the reason why, because I don't think that squad bought into what Seraldo was about. I really don't. I don't think that squad agreed with the direction Seraldo was taking the team. This squad, though, it seems like they are all on board. And here's the main reason why I think that is obviously because of the effort in round one and round two. But it's because they had a plan. What's the number one thing that you look for really when you're talking about effort errors? It's kick pressure. Because you can easily just go, stuff it. I'm tired. I just did a tackle. I'm not going to. What I loved about the Bulldogs is they had, first of all, it's smart by Seraldo. New rule, no longer any blockers on the kickers. So what does Seraldo do? He makes those first three defenders a non-negotiable to shoot out a line and put kick pressure on the kicker. Because ironically, the last couple of years, it's almost been like, you know what? There's not even any point for kick pressure because I get a penalty on me. So Raldo's gone the opposite direction going, hey, I may not be able to tackle the kicker, but I tell you what, if you got kick out Burton and Marnie shooting out a line at you, that kick's going to be a lot harder. Those are effort areas. It's okay, let's say you do it in the first 20 minutes. Great stuff. They did it for 80 minutes against Tanner Boyd and completely shut his kicking game down. Like, he didn't have a second to breathe. And we'll get to the Titans side of things. I actually think Foran should have stepped in there and adjusted the game plan for Tanner Boyd. Maybe is it his groin that he did, or his hammy?
I think it's a groin, yeah.
Maybe that was playing on his mind or something like that. But the Bulldogs, getting to good field position, doing the little things like crazy kick pressure, shows me a side that, okay, can they mix it with the best teams? Probably not. But they play like they did on the weekend, they're going to beat far more teams than they beat last year. Far more. I know it's the Titans and they were you know, really poor, but I think this Bulldogs side playing like that with a game plan for the bottom eight sides are going to be a very tough game. And even for some of the top eight sides, it's going to be a grind for a while, you know?
Yeah, for the first time you see a sense of direction for the Bulldogs.
A game plan. When you're watching a set, you're like, okay, so I reckon Kickout's probably going to get on play three. Okay, Kickout gets it. Burton, I reckon he might run it short. So, you know what I mean? There's going to be some predictors where you go, oh, there's a game plan here, rather than last year where you're like, I have no idea who's getting the ball next.
Yeah, and like I have a look at their, like they've improved every single week moving forward. I watched them against Parramatta early. I just thought, oh my God, this is going to be awful.
But then like, look how good Parra's been. So maybe it was just because Parra's
good. For
sure. Yeah.
They then take on the Sharkies and, you know, 25-6, you go, okay, they got smashed off the park. I think they were behind by six with 13 minutes to go. They were well and truly in that. And then once again, as Hammy said, you can only play the fucking team that they put out in front of you. They did what they were meant to do. If you know,
they beat them 32-0.
If the Panthers won 32-0, you'd go, oh yeah, that's what they were meant to do.
Yeah.
Canterbury's come out and done the same thing. So big test for them this week. South Sydney, they've got a few interesting weeks coming up. South Sydney, Roosters, Melbourne, Newcastle, into a bye. I hope we keep seeing them going in the same direction, because I think they will take a lot of confidence from that on the weekend.
Yeah, and it's, as I said, top tier sides, they'll probably still struggle against.
Yeah.
But when they get against the, you know, one of the top, like a few of the sides that are in the bottom eight, and they play like that, they'll win most of those games. And as a Doggies fan, I know you want to be in the eight, but you've got to be, if you can beat most of the bottom eight sides for the season, I think that's a pretty good season for you, for where you guys were at, you know, a few years ago.
Yeah.
What do you reckon about the Doggies, Hammy?
Yeah, no, you're spot on. They did what they had to do.
Did I already ask you that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts again?
Well, they were great.
I want to know more of your thoughts.
Well, they were great. They played really well. As I said, their back row was elite. You know, they kept it simple. They got to the end of their sets and, you know, what do you say? 2 points, take that.
You know what you say? They were great.
They were great.
Reed Marnie. I thought he was his best game in a probably in a Bulldogs jersey. He made, you know, he ran the ball at times. You know, he was making smart decisions defensively. 46 tackles, only 3 misses. I still wish, like, there's 10 to go. You're up by 1,000. Get him off the field. I don't get that extra 10 minutes is so unnecessary. But anyway, that's just my opinion. But yeah, I thought Reed Marnie was definitely one of his better games. And hopefully he can just keep that up. And maybe, you know, the extra game with Burton and Hutcho is exactly what he needed. And Taff, I thought Taff was better as well this game. So maybe that combination is just going to hopefully grow week on week.
Yeah, it is very nitpicky, but I agree with you. Surely you take Reed off, give him a spell, don't you? Like, I noticed that he played Curran for 45 minutes off the bench, which is a little bit less than what he usually does, and I think that makes sense. Reed would have been another one. Just on Curran, mate, I love everything he's doing. We just spoke about South Sydney. Like, what would they do to have a guy like Curran on their bench?
Oh, mate.
Hey, you're a mad edge. You might be the best 13 at the club. You're not playing there. I just need you to play as a front row forward. And he just goes, yep.
Pack my shovel, let's go. Imagine how much he'd help Cam Murray.
Bloody oath.
Oh, crazy. Who else played a good few boys? Just trying to look. Stephen Crichton was a little bit quiet, but I thought he just played his role. Played his role well. You don't need him to, you know, if you can win like this each week, I'm sure he's happy to just to do his job.
Mate, there was quite often games at Penrith where he was quiet too, but when the big games came and they needed him in the big moments, you knew he was always there.
Yeah. Thoughts on Salmon at 13? I don't mind Salmon at 13. He actually only plays 41 minutes, so it's almost like he's a bit of a front rower 13. Mm. I know he has some ball playing. Would you still pull Curran into that 13 role, do you think? Or?
I don't know if they can afford to pull Curran into that 13 role.
They need him to play
somewhere.
They
just need him as a middle, I think. They're just struggling for front row forwards at the moment. Like, you have a look at the bench. Sam Hughes, Curtis Moran, and Josh Curran. Like, it's by NRL standards, it's a pretty, like, small as in front row forward wise as a bench there. So I don't think they can afford not to play there. And mate, I actually think Salmon looks really good at 13. I know people are critical of I think he looks good.
I think he looks
a good footballer,
too.
Salmon.
Yeah, I think he looks good too. I like Salmon at 13. And also, he's another guy that's been so in and out of its first grade side. Maybe he just needs time to build into it as well.
Yeah, I think as well, like, and you know, sometimes I don't understand it completely, but obviously Serraldo is trying to implement some stuff that he has taken from the Penrith Panthers system in here. And Salmon's a guy that has been there and been around it. I think people, you know, forget with Jamin Salmon as well. Like, he was a halfback 5'8 coming through the grades. Like, he has got a little bit more than what I think people realise. He straightens up the line. He does a lot of little things right, Salmon.
Mm.
So I'd be happy to keep him there at 13.
What about that knock from Curran, just statistically? So he played 45 minutes, 14 runs, 126 metres, 61 post contact, one tackle break, 30 tackles, only one miss.
Yeah, he's been a very, very good signing. Like, if they didn't have him, what's doing?
Well, it's such a good example of, you know, we often – I think people have moved past this now, but I feel like 4 or 5 years ago, you go, your starting 13 is your best.
Yep.
It's your best, and then your benchies are a step below your starting 13. But there is absolutely no dimension where Curran isn't in their best 13 players. Like, his role is just as important, if not more important, than a lot of these other forwards that start in the side. Matter of fact, I would say that his role is probably more important than Max King's, more important than Liam Knight's, and maybe even more important than Salmon. It's only really Preston and Kikau that have a more impact on their game plan.
Oh, mate, he comes on at the exact moment where a team that looks like Canterbury's should fall into a heap, and he's what keeps them together through that real middle third of the game.
Mm. Yep. So really, really good win for the Doggies. And like, I know there's going to be haters that are like, oh, it's the Titans and, you know, wait till next week or the week after. But Doggies fans, enjoy it. Like, you smack the Titans. Like, no one – if someone said to you at the start of the year, you'll lose the first two games, but you'll smack the Titans, I think a lot of people go, okay, yeah, that's pretty fair. Well, not even pretty fair. I'll be stoked with dominating the Titans. So really, really good win. Now, onto the Titans.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. Similar – boat to the Rabbitohs. They're just not as big as a club as the Rabbitohs. But I have real concerns for the Titans and the way they have reacted to Des Hasler. I am genuinely shocked that they've actually gotten worse than what they were last year. And that says to me that the playing group is yet to react and get on board, I think, with Desi's plan. Or maybe it's the opposite. Maybe Desi doesn't suit the Titans. I don't know. Look, it's too early to tell. But so far, I think everyone can agree that we thought at the very least we would see a better Titan than last year. No way did we think that they would look substantially worse than they did last year at this time.
Yeah, look, maybe it is that Desi doesn't fit the Titans, but I'll tell you what, if you're the Titans, if you're going to move heaven and earth to get Des Hasler to the club, you make yourself fit in with Des.
Oh, Hasler. Yeah, mate.
And maybe that'll take time, but, mate, I remember watching that first trial where you essentially had the Burley Bears wearing Titans jerseys, and they looked really good defensively, yeah. Remember? And we're sitting there going, this is Desi. The Desi DNA. Yeah. Mate, I couldn't find a Desi fingerprint on them at the moment. If you didn't know who was coaching them, you would never guess Desi.
Mate, it is bizarre. Like, I'm genuinely shocked that this squad hasn't, like, for a lack of a better metaphor, been like a flower turning to the sun and blossoming. They didn't know blossoming here, baby. This is a young, exciting roster.
Yeah.
You would think if any roster is going to respond to Desi, it's a young roster that's underachieved for a few years now, or, you know, hasn't achieved what they wanted to. Whereas, like, let's say Desi goes into an older roster, that's where you would expect, like, okay, they're set in their ways, they're mature, they've all played a lot of NRL. Whereas this roster is super young. Like, this forward pack, it's like their oldest player is probably like 26 or 27. In the starting side, that is. Very, very surprising. I don't know what is going on there. The only other explanation I can think of is, did they do an extremely hard preseason and they're fatigued? Because I don't know what's going on.
They should be, like, come off a bye, didn't they? So they should be.
That's the only thing that worries me. Like, they had 2 weeks to prepare for this game.
Yeah, sometimes you can get, like, it takes you a bit longer to recover from a preseason than, like, your energy levels can be quite low for, you know, 4 to 6 weeks. And it's not even physical energy, it's a mental energy of just getting absolutely bashed in a preseason. Again, I'm not saying that's the problem. I'm just trying to friggin' find out something. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Because, can we all agree, like Desi, to say that Desi can't coach still, it's like, come on. I know he's lost his last whatever games, like the implosion happened in Manly and he lost those 7 games and then he's lost these opening games. I get that. But before that, Manly were going fantastic. Like, just, I don't think there's a fact that Desi has lost his ability to coach.
Mm.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I just, mate, like, I sit here and I think to myself, okay, just give Desi time. But, fuck, losing Tino is just so, like, it is probably the worst thing that could have possibly happened to them.
It's definitely, right? it's worse than even probably Foran.
Yeah. Oh, I think so.
Well, fair to say he's their most valuable player, Tino. Oh. So before the weekend, the Titans were $11 to win the spoon.
Mm.
After what happened on the weekend, they're now outright favourites, $3.60 to win the spoon. So that's what that injury has done to the market there.
Oh, my.
Who are Dragons at?
$3.75. So that's, wow. Yeah, wow. That's how the...
That is...
That's how the cutlet crumbles on that one.
Oh, man, the rubber has met the road.
Yeah.
Especially, like, what say they were there? $3.75?
The Titans, $3.60.
$3.60.
That was spoon 11. From every angle.
And that's... That's with, as well, assuming that this week or next week, Fifita and Jaden Campbell are going to come into the side as well, and still, that's short. It's worrying.
Okay. In regards to performance, man, I wasn't convinced that AJ should have been moved from fullback.
Mm.
I'm getting less and less convinced.
Yeah.
I was always of the mind he's the best fullback at the club. I understood their reasoning of Jaden Campbell as a part of this side. You know, he can only play fullback, whereas AJ can play multiple positions. Even though I think AJ's defense has been pretty solid, like his one-on-one tackling has been, he hasn't been terrible. Mate, I think this team needs AJ at one.
Not playing AJ at one, even when Jaden Campbell's in the side, I think is controversial. When Jaden Campbell's not in the side, to not play AJ there,
I understand their thinking, and you could go, oh, well, look at the Warriors. They're playing RTS at the centres, but the Warriors are a different kettle of fish. Yeah. The Titans, like, desperately need him at fullback. The Warriors literally just come off one of their best years ever.
It's just not getting enough out of AJ, and he looks frustrated to me. I know, like I've said it a million times, I know he loves the Gold Coast and everything. He's a very good fellow, AJ, but you just, I just don't know how much longer he can go on sitting out there. Like, surely he had sub 10 touches of the football.
Nine.
Yeah. You just, especially the position they find themselves in now, you got to do something.
Mate, you just.
And like the, you know, I understand why they also didn't play him at 5'8". I understand the argument. You want Tanner Boyd to be ready. But mate, if this is what's going to happen to Tanner Boyd every week, you might be doing him a disservice as well.
He might need time back in New South Wales Cup, Queensland Cup. It is seriously concerning. Like the standard of footy that they have played the first two rounds for them has been like, I haven't seen the Titans play this bad in, honestly can't remember.
Yeah.
Since their spoon days, pretty much.
Yeah.
And you know what? Their spoon days, the squad was bang average.
Mm.
Now it's not. Like there are some very, very good footballers in this side, but the key footballers, they're not getting the right ball. I'd say, mate, obviously now with the Tino injury, Mo Fatawaka is going to have to really step up, and I'm confident that he will step into that role. But the one that I like is Jermaine Jolliffe. I think he's always been a little bit underrated up there at the Titans, and I think you'll see him get a little uptick in minutes.
I tell you what, if you're a Titans forward and you want to earn more money, here's your opportunity.
Mm.
Because they've just lost Tino, the heart and soul. There is a gaping hole in that team and forward pack for someone to step up and say, I'm going to be that man. And your value will go from probably minimum to like skyrocket if you can somehow even slightly fill the hole of Tino Fossil.
And this is where, for me, in the first, you know, every time I've seen him so far in Titans colours, Palacios has been very underwhelming.
Very surprised with Keenan. I'm genuinely shocked that he hasn't hit the ground absolutely running at the Titans.
Well, mate, fuck, there's an opportunity to turn it around now and become the guy there if he wants it.
Yeah, it's literally right there. Another negative, Brian Kelly. I thought defensively, some of his decisions was just really, really poor. He's such an enigma, Brian Kelly, because he is so talented, but it just never can fully put it together over a long period of time. You know, you watch games and you go, he'll go toe-to-toe with some of the best centers in the comp, like genuine toe-to-toe. You know, he might shut down Katoni for a game, or at the very least, you know, it'll be a battle. And then other games, you just like, he just completely loses concentration. And it's like getting to the point where, if you're an outside back for the Titans, you just cannot afford, because the squad's not strong enough to afford to have players that have these really bad games every now and then. Like, I just, I don't know. What do you think of Kelly on the weekend with his defense?
Oh, mate, to be honest, like, this has been Brian Kelly for a few years. And for me, he really personifies the Titans.
Mm.
All the ability in the world, all the talent. You know, you can watch Brian Kelly on any given weekend and he can pull the pants down of any centre in this competition.
Literally, yeah.
But then the next 3 weeks, it can be missed tackles, errors, just goes
screaming
missing.
Like some of these decision-making just screaming in off his edge is just like, what?
But there's been like periods of time over the last years when I've watched Brian Kelly and thought, you wouldn't look out of place in State of Origin. Mate, you could hold your own.
Honestly, I agree. I know it sounds fucking mental, but that's how talented he is.
And there will be a 4 or 5 week period at some point this year where I sit there and go, not bad depth to have for us.
Yeah.
But he just can't do it consistently, and that's who the Titans are. And it's really who I was hoping the Titans were going to get away from being. If anything, I mean, their first 2 weeks have probably been the most consistent weeks we've seen in a long time, unfortunately, for all the wrong reasons.
Yeah, look, it's very early, but this looks like a squad that I think, it sounds stupid, but they're playing Gold Coast footy.
Mm.
Life's too good. Mm. Like, you know what I mean? Like, life's too good. I'm on the Gold Coast. It's all cruisy. And that seems to have, it seems like it's seeped its way into the squad to a degree.
And I mean, like, if your Des Hasler looking at this squad, what do you change? What do you do?
Like, for example, you go, oh, I need a clean out. This isn't an aging roster.
Nope.
This is one of the best young rosters on the in the comp when it comes to, like, young players. But in saying that, if this young roster isn't going to respond, unfortunately, as you alluded to earlier, it's not going to be Desi first. Desi will clean this club out before Desi gets moved on. Because when's the next time the Titans are going to get a premiership winning coach at the club? It's not going to happen.
Well, mate, and this is the whole thing. Like, if you bring Desi to the club this year and this is how they perform for the rest of the season, God, it's going to be hard to recruit players.
Well, Gold Coast is a good place to live. But I will say,
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If they go like this all year, there will be a clean out. Desi will just go, phoom. There's no way there isn't. And, you know, some people go, oh, they're missing Jaden Campbell, they're missing Fifita. Yeah, but, like, the standard of footy they've played is pretty much been not NRL. It's been Q Cup standard.
Well, I mean, you have a look at, you know, they've played two games this year. The Dragons look like the St. George Dragons of the 1960s against them early. You now look at how they've gone the few weeks after. You look at Canterbury, who I think they've scored 3 tries before this game. They put 32 on them. Like, very alarming signs early.
8 line breaks to 1. The Bulldogs, 8 line breaks to 1.
Going to need to find something. It's going to be a tough next couple of weeks for them as well. Just having a look at their draw ahead. They've got the Dolphins, who look pretty good against the Dragons. Then the Cowboys, the Raiders are playing good footy at the moment. Manly, Warriors, Storm, Cowboys again.
Oh, my God.
Knights, Broncos, bye. So that's a pretty tough next 10 weeks for them.
And they on the weekend, they missed 42 tackles. 42 tackles. Wow. And they had 15 ineffective tackles, which is essentially double what Doggies had. Yep, tough times for the Titans. You know, if there's one mad scientist that can turn it around, though, it is Desi. It is Desi.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.